Welcome to Betting 360, your number one source for horse racing and sports betting insights. Coming around the bend is your host, David Duffield, with another expert interview to give you the winning edge.
Hi, this is David Duffield, and welcome to another episode of the Betting 360 podcast. This week on the show, I've got Dean the Trial Spy. He was betting successfully using a revolutionary approach to form assessment, which focused on barrier trials to identify good price winners and generate excellent long-term profits. Prior to joining us, he was the number one tipster on a public tipping website that's got thousands of professional, media and amateur tipsters. And since joining us in February 2013, has achieved really consistent and long-term profits. I think it's something like 460 units in 2 and a bit years. So we're going to have a chat with Dean today about a variety of different topics, but focusing, of course, on barrier trials. G'day, Dean, and welcome to the podcast for the first time. It's been more than 2 years the Trial Spy service has been open, but your debut on the show.
Yeah, thanks. No, great to be on.
Excellent. So I want to talk about the Trial Spy service. It's one of the better known services we've got, that's for sure, and definitely one of the most successful ones. What is your process in reviewing the trials?
I go through the trials in an intense level of detail that I would say few, if any, do. I do the form for a trial like I do for a race, and the form across all of the trials on a day, and sort of set a picture of where I expect horses to finish both within each trial, but also looking across, say, a set of 10 900 metre trials at Rose Hill, also looking to see which trials I'm expecting to run quicker times as opposed to others, and identifying the class and speed ability and characteristics of each runner so that I know what I expect. And then it's a case of often, looking for what surprised me or wasn't expected, the sneaky trial that others miss. Watching each trial over and over again, multiple times to view each runner individually, knowing the form of each runner and utilizing sectional data that isn't publicly available, verifying across 2 independent sources, and that enables me to do it at a level that others simply don't bother with. So you get to know the horses and their ability levels, their improvement levels from preparation to preparation, and their idiosyncrasies really well. And it's been a case of taking into consideration the nuances of various trainers, the trainers whose horses and good trialers are generally overbet versus those who are underbet, the existing class of the horse, the times they ran, how much they were or weren't exerted, and where they're likely to head in their preparation. And, I then sort of determine whether they fit the criteria of a horse that we want to follow for their preparation, which is essentially a horse whose speed or class isn't truly reflected in their existing form.
All right, and most edges gradually disappear over time. It hasn't appeared to be the case with the trials. So why do you think there is still such a big edge doing the barrier trials?
I think for a long time the performances in barrier trials were just enormously undervalued. Very few people were watching them, and the ones that were probably weren't aware of the value of what they were seeing. But these days most of the largest punters in Australia are data-driven, and that creates a great opportunity. In speaking with these guys directly or listening to them speak, they all admit that they simply can't find an acceptable way to incorporate trials into their figures. So the horses aren't running for prize money, they aren't all trying, the jockeys are carrying different weights, and so they simply can't find a way in their data or rigid sort of computer-driven calculations with little to no human intervention to incorporate trial performances into their numbers. So they either don't incorporate it at all, or some databases or computer ratings try and incorporate it based on the times run without any additional input, which is clearly flawed, or they watch a trial once and try to fudge some sort of manual overlay in there, but because they're not putting the relevant time and effort into it, they're simply getting it wrong, either undercooking or overcooking the manual adjustment they should be placing in there. And so the opportunity for me sometimes gets even greater, and this creates the huge opportunity, because as all the different punters compiling ratings try to outdo each other with their own version of the same thing, their own speed rating or class rating or speed map or various methodologies, we're sort of able to sit back and wait for the great opportunities when the data that both the ratings guys and the bookie analysts, I suppose, that are setting the markets are using to price up a horse simply doesn't reflect the horse's true ability, whether that's going up or down, or their improvement from preparation to preparation. So I think, coupled with the fact that most people watching trials don't really know what they should be looking for or avoiding, even if they think they do, that sort of gives us the big edge.
So over the last couple of years, what changes have you seen? You mentioned that there's a lot more focus on Barrow Trials, but maybe the focus can be in the wrong places. How's that evolved and how's that impacting dividends?
Yes, yeah, certainly I know as a result of the webinar I did in sort of February 2013, a couple of years ago, and the subsequent success of the service, people definitely started to realise how important the trials were. And the interesting swing I saw develop was, you know, a lot of horses who trialled well, or at least in quick time, it used to be great value, were suddenly being overbet as others tried to sort of jump on the bandwagon and start watching trials, and we're finding the obvious horses that everyone is finding and hence they're being overbet. But, you know, they're still sort of missing real gold, which is often the hidden trial performances. So I've had to sort of slightly adjust, and now there's more of a focus on value-priced winners and profit over a strike rate in particular. You know, in the earlier days, the service focused a lot on finding the absolute creme de la creme of trialers that were young two-year-olds and maiden horses that were clearly going to break through their maidens. And we certainly still do that, as it's easy money a lot of the time. But as the service has grown and developed, we've, you know, expanded our reach and are now finding winners at outstanding prices through finding ability in those horses that everyone else has missed. And in sort of this year, 2015 alone, we've, you know, from limited bets had winners such as, you know, Mark and Mary, sort of $61 recorded, although it was $67 fixed at the time of the SMS and ended up paying $84 best tote. And its last two runs, it had run last, beaten 9.5 lengths, and ninth, beaten 6 lengths. We found Dylan Rocks at $31, had been beaten a combined 12 lengths in its first two starts. Bourgeoisie at $18, Dr. Sykes at sort of $15 recorded, it was around $17 at the time of the SMS, which was beaten 5 lengths on debut. And even just this Sunday, we had Skripchenko, who was a very unlucky second, just beaten ahead at $21, and another who'd run 7th and last of its two debut runs. So these are horses you usually will never find through traditional ratings or databases or computer programs or any other tipping services usually. They're only sort of found through the work that I do. And the interesting part is even those watching the trials, I'm missing them. You know, Martha Mary at sort of $61 had been beaten 5 lengths running last in its recent Hawkesbury trial, its last trial. And, you know, Dylan Rocks' last two trials, it runs 6 both times, beaten 9.5 lengths cumulatively. So we're identifying winners at big prices that no one else is on.
And there's been a fair bit of change recently with obviously TVN closing and the online racing sites. Does that help or hinder what you do?
It's a credit to Racing Victoria and Racing New South Wales. You know, the addition of video form for both trials and races these days is a significant improvement to what was available in the past. You know, my preference is to watch them on TV sort of all at once, though, and rather than sort of online trial by trial. And TVN was great. The coverage was excellent, and all the trial days were repeated regularly with the ability to, you know, series, link or auto record them. And I guess my main beef with Sky Channel, and hopefully someone from there is listening, is the lack of the replays of the trials they have. They've introduced live trials with analysis, which, you know, I watch on mute as the guys providing the commentary really sort of know what they're supposed to be looking at. But, you know, it takes 2 hours to record that, and they don't provide any replays. And, you know, on the rare occasion they do offer replays, they sort of can't be series linked on Foxtel sort of thing. You've got to check every day to see if there are any recordings. Otherwise, you've got to go watch it online or source the tapes. So, now, my preference would be for them to ditch the live showings of the trials and focus on multiple replays for each set of trials, and the ability to record them as a series link obviously would help what I do and make sense. I think the other element, you know, with Victoria is the trials aren't compulsory for debutants like they are in New South Wales, and I think compulsory trialing would help stimulate, you know, larger punting dollars on those early two-year-old races in Victoria and maidens as well. I understand sort of the Victorian history with no trials has allowed owners and connections to gain an advantage and land plunges on their runners, but the industry and the prize money these owners race for is provided by the punting dollar, so, you know, I'm surprised they don't look to compulsory trials there. And the other element I'd like to see continue is the progression of greater information, you know, with the inclusion of jump out results in form guides like they do for trials. The replays of some jump outs are available online as a sort of the listing of the horses, but it's still sort of cloak and dagger, and if they added that final step of including, you know, jump out results in the form guides, I think that would aid punters and contribute positively to betting turnover further, which helps the industry as a whole.
You're preaching to the converted here, there's no doubt about that. You mentioned before about some the recent big winners that we've had, but over the last couple of years, there's been a key part of the service has been some of the plunges that you've landed.
Yeah, we've had some big ones, you know, plenty of them. I guess a couple that come to mind, such as, you know, LA Chevelle. They bet us as much as $21 early doors, and at SP at $3.20 favorite and won. And even recently, we had one just a few days ago on Thursday, Legendary Luke, that we sent out as a free newsletter tip in the Champion Picks newsletter, and it was $9.50 or, you know, $10 when we sent it out, and started around $3.50 and saluted. So, you know, it's great fun for members landing some of the big plunges when the bookies get it very wrong, and obviously demonstrates the big edge we have taking advantage of bookie errors and significant mispricing that happens regularly.
And so what changes have you had to make over the last couple of years?
Yeah, well, the ever-changing sort of betting landscape, we've made a number of enhancements and improvements as we've gone along. You've got to keep evolving and improving what you do to stay ahead, or else you get swallowed up. So, you know, I've had to ensure we're always sort of two steps ahead of the market. And I continually perform, you know, bits of analysis on various factors impacting the horses we back, and make adjustments based on what the data is telling me. So recently I've been analysing close to 4,000 individual bets across 100 different form factors or variables, which has given me great insight into where our key strengths are and where we can improve, which in turn has helped me assess, you know, where horses are being overbet and hence identify runners we can avoid in the future. So that while the rest of the trial watchers is sort of still falling into the traps of backing these types, we are sort of benefiting by simply saving units by not backing them or winning further by betting around them. And we had an example just last week of a horse called Seema who was heavily backed into odds on and Gosford Maiden as the trialed well, you know, winning its last Warwick Farm trial and in the clear cruise time of 14 trials on the day. But, you know, it failed a few of the criteria that I look at, and we were able to back Bid Blooper, who won the race. You know, we recorded $10, but it started $12 to $13 with most bookies. A member on the live page even said he got $16 on Betfair just before the start, but you know, Seema missed a place, and we also got the exacta that paid over $30 as well. So the analysis has been of great assistance in many ways, such as identifying false favourites. You know, another element, a lot of members, as a result of the success of the service, obviously started getting banned by various bookies, as you'd expect. So we've tried to reduce the early bets where possible, and the majority of our bets are in New South Wales, and so the minimum bet regulations in New South Wales have meant that, you know, we're now try and send, or wait until 9 a.m. to send the bets, which, you know, ensures that every single member can get set, regardless of whether they've been banned or restricted, with the bookies forced to take their bets up to the minimum level. So that's a big positive, and, you know, there's talk we may be looking to follow in their footsteps in the very near future, which, you know, I think would be a no-brainer, and hopefully they do. I also think, you know, the key to success in betting is not just who to bet. You know, that's one element, but when to bet, how much to bet, and where are incredibly important also. And, you know, the majority of the services, I think, simply give you the horse, and the next level might be to give you a rated price, but without a recommended stake, it's really leaving you to your own devices. The next level, again, I think, is offering a recommended stake, you know, how much of your bank to bet. But I think providing advice on when to bet and where to bet is what really sets the service apart. So with the selections we provide, you know, it's not just the horse to back, but how much to have on it, you know, its current price and when and where we suggest backing it, whether immediately or, you know, monitoring and waiting and taking, say, best total or centre best or Betfair SP. But, you know, I'm specific. I always record the price at whatever the first recommended option was. And if the price gets crunched quickly, then I record the price at the next fluctuation down. And to be honest, that level of sort of clarity and transparency and fairness is, I think, sorely lacking in sort of 99% of the services out there. And I think it sets a benchmark for sort of fairly recording prices based exactly on the advice given with no mystery about it, but also recognising when a price goes quickly that an adjustment is fair. I also do a weekly wrap at the end of each week going over selections and how they performed. And I suppose also restricting members has been the other facet. You know, we haven't done a public intake for 16 months, and that's been to protect members and their dividends. And again, I'm not aware of any other service that has, you know, genuinely restricted members in that way for their benefit.
Well, one thing that probably hasn't changed so much is that it's very difficult to get out of your black book, if you want to call it that. It's a bit more involved than a black book, but once you've identified a horse as, you know, one you want to be on from a trial, you keep backing it and, you know, quite doggedly so.
Yeah. It's, you know, there's certainly some that fall out when they've run out of excuses, but, you know, I continue to test, you know, the numbers around, you know, how often we back a horse and whether that, you know, continuing to push forward makes sense. A lot of people, Black Book a horse, maybe give it one run or two runs, but my analysis shows that even that third run is just as profitable, if not more profitable, than the first and second time. It's definitely a big benefit that we have is, people, once they start dropping off a horse, that might have had genuine excuses in its races, they sort of, forget about the trial, where it's because I've done so much detailed work on the trial, I know that the horse's ability is there, and often it's just a gear change or a different jockey or, just getting up to the right distance or just different set of circumstances, which is all the horse needs to display its true ability. And so, we've got a lot of big price winners that way, simply by sticking on when the others drop off.
One thing that has changed, though, is there's now a live page and a pretty detailed resources section for members.
Yeah, we introduced a live page recently. We aim for one sort of once a week when we've got a reasonably busy day, which gives a chance for members to ask any questions of me directly, whether it's about the day's betting or any general questions regarding the service or betting in general. And, it's been really great to interact with members that way and celebrate some of the wins together and retain that team atmosphere we've got going as a sort of close-knit group, working together to smash the bookies. And, with the education, that's something I'm really passionate about. And, we've got a members resources page with FAQs and various interviews and webinars, reviews and educational material about how to get the best odds and avoiding getting banned by your bookie and various other pieces of information to help assist members, get the most out of their betting, not only with the Trial Spy service, but with their own betting and any other services they may follow.
And what about exotics? How do you incorporate those into the Trial Spy service?
My belief is every race is a unique challenge. I treat every race as a strategy. So, your aim is to maximize your profits in each race and minimize variance by protecting your bank as much as you can with every investment. And I believe it makes sense to use all of the available betting options in a race strategy to maximize profits. So I believe that simply betting to win only restricts you and in some races simply makes no sense. I'm not a fan of investing four units to win five, and I do believe you can take slight unders and still bet or save. And, the Kelly criterion, which is globally accepted as the best staking methodology to win long term, mathematically agrees and allows for savers and betting at slight unders on a rated price in certain circumstances. So, sometimes we only back one horse to win at a race, and that's it. Sometimes we might back two or three in a race to win. Sometimes we back and save. Sometimes we'll back one horse each way. And at times we use, exactors or trifectas, either as saver bets or as additional profit opportunities. And it's just a case of trying to apply the best strategy to each unique situation, given the mixture of my own rated prices compared with the markets and the number of genuine sort of win in place chances I believe there are in the race. Certainly with maidens and two-year-olds, you get races where there are horses that are simply panels above the rest and a number of runners in the race who can't pick their feet up and you can eliminate easily. So my approach with exotics is to try and find races where either my rated prices are markedly different to the market, which creates an opportunity, or when I'm confident that there's a few runners who are clearly above the rest of the field and the likelihood of striking a dividend is relatively high. So, my preferred strategy for the likes of exactors and trifectas is to find those races also where there's a false favourite or even the first couple in betting are vulnerable. And we also have identified some runners where I feel their chance of winning and knocking off the favourites is far greater than the market price indicates. And now there can be situations that happen a lot with our sort of selections where the favourite or favourites are a winning chance, and you might not necessarily want to bet heavily to take them on, but at the same time it's too expensive or doesn't make sense to back the runners you're keen on and save on the favourites as the outlay may be too much compared to the potential return. So it's those situations where often my preferred strategy is to take a boxed exactor or trifecta, because I'm really confident that, let's say, five horses in the maiden race is so far superior to everything else in the race, and I'm really confident the five selections are going to run 1, 2, 3, and I believe the favourites are vulnerable, and often in that situation, if the favourite does win, you might break even or make a very small loss, but if the favourite gets beat, you can get some enormous dividends, and, we've done that successfully through Trial Spy. We're up over 60 units on exotics such as exactors and trifectas by implementing that strategy, and we've got $3,700 trifectas, $1,100 trifectas, $390 exactors, and a multitude of others, sort of a total of around $6,000 profit on exotics alone for our average member. So they can be very lucrative, as are all forms of betting if you find an edge with which to use them, and they've been a valuable addition to the betting portfolio and enabled some very big.
Yeah, and guys like the exotics winners, but they also like backing horses early that end up at Group 1 level, and that's been something that's happened on a few different occasions.
Yeah, we found a number of future stars before they were famous, if you like. You know, we identified Zoustar, who we backed on debut to win at $7.50, and now we went on to back him five times for four wins and a close second, including winning the Golden Rose for us at $16. Now he won us over 30 units on his own. Horses like Moss Fun, who we backed three times for three wins, and the Silver Slipper Riesling and Golden Slipper won us over 13 units and that sort of hat-trick of consecutive wins. We backed Vancouver on debut to win. We backed Pride of Dubai and the Blue Diamond. A horse like Rudy we backed since his debut and in five of his wins, for over 23 units profit. And we backed future Group 1 stars like, Brazen Bow, Hampton Court, Alma Lad, Easier Man, Chautauqua, and Terra Vista in their early days. So, it's a facet of the service that members really love, which is backing these horses, mostly on debut, before anyone has caught on to their true ability and following them through their career as they reach the top level.
Excellent. Well, we'll leave it there for now. I mean, I really appreciate you coming on for the first time. One of the reasons is, obviously, we've got the service open for a limited time, and by limited, we definitely mean that that's the case because we can't take many hundreds of people to sign up because that'll just flood the market. So we've restricted it for the last 16 months. There hasn't been any opportunity to get on board, but there is now. So that might last for a day, a couple of days, we're not sure, but at maximum, it'll be 3 days in total. So it's a good chance to join a service that's made massive profits in a good period of time before going live with us, and then in the 2.5 years or less than that, about 28 months that you've been with us, it's 460 units profit, which is a massive return. So it's highly profitable, highly enjoyable for all the members, and Dean's absolutely committed to helping you win. So there's a hell of a lot of information that goes out each and every week, and quite a few winners to go along with that. So it's a good opportunity to get on board, and you can hear from Dean's chat today that he certainly knows what he's talking about. So thanks for joining us today, Dean. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about just before we wrap it up?
No, that's all. Thanks for having me on, and I look forward to welcoming some new members for the first time in a very long time.
Excellent. Thanks, mate. Catch you later.
Cheers. See ya.
Thanks for tuning in to Betting 360. Get more in-depth analysis, tips, and that betting edge by heading over to championpicks.com.au, where you'll find a full transcript of this episode. If you like the show, share us with a fellow punter or drop by iTunes to leave us your thoughts. Betting 360, punting from all angles.